You're on a GLP-1. Your appetite is changing, your cravings quiet down, and food noise is finally fading. But now you're wondering, how do I manage my side effects? What do I eat to stay strong? How do I break through a plateau? Because reaching your weight loss goals can take more than meds. That's where Weight Watchers Med Plus comes in. The support designed to help you navigate what comes next. With trusted experts who guide you, food plans that work with your body, support to help manage side effects, plus access to GLP-1 medication. Weight Watchers Med Plus is designed to help you lose more weight. Watch it work. Get started today at WeightWatchers.com. All medical services are provided through our affiliated medical group, Weight Watchers Clinic. Medications require eligibility and prescription. Individual results may vary. See site for more details.
I absolutely love that first firing up of the grill on a warm summer evening. Do you or someone else in your home take grilling as seriously as I do? The Burger Perfection Pack is an incredible deal for just $99.99. This exclusive package includes 20 of Omaha Steaks' mouthwatering steak burgers. That's four of each of their finest burgers. Pure ground filet mignon, New York strip, ribeye, brisket, and sirloin. Only available at omahasteaks.com. Impress your next dinner party or family cookout with exclusive products not available at grocery stores. All backed by Omaha Steaks' 100% money-back guarantee. Get ready for grilling season with the mouthwatering Omaha Steaks Burger Perfection Pack, plus 8 free Wagyu Smash Burgers for just $99.99. Go to omahasteaks.com and as a bonus, use promo code YUM to get $35 off your order. That's $35 off with promo code YUM. Terms apply. See site for details.
Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? It is Tuesday, which means it's time for the John and Wayne Show. Wayne, the Breezy, the WB, how we doing today, man?
WB! What's going on, 49er faithful to the Bay? Yo, John, we're about to be 8 weeks in this mug, bro. Already it's about to be half of the season.
The season is nonstop, man. Yeah, like it is just, it's just like boom, 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 and it don't stop. And we're 7 weeks through. We're in week eight, like you said. The 49ers somehow 5-2. Most injured team in the NFL, missing 14 out of 22 starters at any given moment. Yet they're in first place in the toughest division in football. Three teams in the NFC West are 5-2, and the 49ers have beat them all.
Yeah.
They beat them all.
Killers. Oh. Killers. Dude, I love it, different. Man. I mean, you couldn't ask for a better start to the season because I don't think at 5-2 we would have thought we would have been this injured. You know what I mean? And it's not like, number one, we're the most injured team, but let's talk about the severity of the injuries to the players that are going to be out for the season. Like, you know what I mean? So, you know, we don't even have our starting quarterback. Like, now that I think about it, like, I don't even know if he's going to play again this year. So it's crazy.
I think he'll be back. I don't know if I would play him every week. I know.
I don't know if I would play him because I don't know about turf toe, but I got some badass feet, bro. And when your feet hurt, John, I mean, you are mean.
Like, I remember one time Wayne and I got new shoes. We got new J's. I think it was the 4s. And it was the red ones that came out. Yes. I think it was Pittsburgh. I don't know where it was. It's still in the box, bro.
I wore them one time.
And Wayne, we were at the tailgate, and he's like, dude, how you wear this shit?
Bro, the way my feet are set up. So my point is, when your feet hurt, because it carries all the weight of the world are on your feet, I don't know if that's something I would want to mess with. And plus, you don't want that turf toe, whatever it's called, to get worse. And the only way to help it is really rest, you know? And so Mac Jones is doing a hell of a job.
4-1. 4-1. Dude got paid. He hit his incentives. Love to see that. He got his $400,000 cash for winning this many games and playing time incentives. Now he gets an extra $100,000 bonus every victory that he starts. So, dude, just keep racking up the money. Dude deserved it. He took a cheap deal, man. He took a cheap deal to come here. It was a match made in heaven, though. Wonderful choice by him and his agent. Remember, Mac Jones was one of the very first free agent signings the 49ers had in free agency. Like that Absolutely. First big splash day. And mm-hmm. it's like, oh, Mac Jones, 2 years, $7 million. Like, and it was like, huh, that's kind of weird. There were mm-hmm. other quarterbacks out there. Like, mm-hmm. but this, both sides were just like, hey, let's make this work. Let's make this work. And it's been perfect. And I didn't like Mac Jones. I want to be very honest. I
not in the draft. That was not the guy I wanted either.
I didn't like Mac Jones watching him play for New England. I hated the attitude and the face, the shirt.
Oh, he was different. He came in cocky. He came in a little cocky.
Dude has grown. And, man, very it's like Sherman guy. Was the same way. I hated Sherman. Everybody
I loved
did.
Sherman. See?
Yeah, I like trash talk.
He's a sophisticated trash talk, though. It's calculated. Oh, yeah. What I mean. It's very calculated, you know. And the moment that we knew he was going to be a 49er, I was like, yeah. Like I hated him as a Seahawk. Don't get it twisted. But a part of me loved him. You know how you like players on others. Like I love Marshawn Lynch. I hate what he did. I love Marshawn Lynch. I still love him to this day. His character is hilarious. Matter of fact. We had some of our own Marshawn Lynches on the team that no longer play for the San Francisco 49ers, like Dre Greenlaw and Aziz Alshire.
I love them even more. I don't give a damn. Chase that official. I want to know what he said to him. And I wish
Did he get suspended? He got
they
thrown on.
Suspended him.
Damn. You can't chase the officials, my guy. Listen, I love
Why?
Those.
Why
Listen,
not? They call them out. They call them out all the time.
You can't.
Number 48.
That's like chasing the police, bro. They the police of the NFL. They the motherfreaking 5-0 of the NFL. You can't chase them. Speaking of officials, can I give the official? I've never in my entire being of life. Where's my damn mixer? I want to make sure y'all hear this round of applause, okay? It's the first time I'm going to get. And of course, you can't hear the round of applause because it's coming through my damn speakers and not my headphones. Maybe you can't hear. I don't know. Anyway, my point is this. I never in my entire being, I'm 44 years old. I've never seen an official do what I saw last night and getting in between players. And what I mean is, I watched the official get in between Jackson Smith and Jigba with no helmet on and the whole damn defense. And he was like, get off my guy. Don't touch my guy. Get off my... That...
That was
respect.
Cool.
Respect.
Yeah, that was cool. Respect. I thought that was a cool moment, too. Like, once the helmet comes off, it's all different, right? And so he's all the way, got knocked into the bench and all that stuff. Like, that was cool. I don't like the Seahawks. I don't.
Oh,
really,
I hate everything about him.
Everything about him. But that was cool.
That was
respect. I'm with you. I'm
respect.
With you.
Now, if we can get a little bit of that respect, that'd be dope.
Yeah, and so, like, I don't know. I go back to the Dre Greenlaw Aziz. I don't think.
Listen,
I think that those were not warranted. Not warranted.
You're not coming. You're not going to do that.
No. Oh,
the Aziz, yes.
Dogs.
The Aziz was iffy. Like
I want dogs.
They are dogs, but they are those type. You know, they're scary types of dogs, John, because, you know, they only listen to their best friend, which is their owner. That's it. They don't listen to nobody else. I don't know who the hell Aziz is Alshire listens to. He's on a different playing field. Now, I thought it was questionable. I thought the call was questionable, but because of his history, he's going to get that flag every single time. And as far as Dre Greenlaw, you just got back, my bro. My boy, why are you chasing the zebras, man?
You don't chase zebras.
The
Charlie Murphy experience. Yeah. He's a habitual line stepper, habitually crossing that line. Like that's just, I'm sorry, man. Like, I'm thankful. I'm not thankful he's not on our team. I do, obviously. He's my favorite player in the NFL, not on the 49ers. But, like, dude, you need villains in the NFL.
100%.
And that role is filled by ex-49ers.
100%.
And, oh.
I kind of feel like that's the attitude, though, that we're missing on our defense.
Yeah.
I feel like our defense is too pretty.
I'm hoping Tatum and Malik can fix that because they're not pretty. They are.
They're not pretty, but we don't know their we don't know their personas yet. They're just trying to be the best they can and fulfill this roster the best way they can. We don't know their makeup. Like, we knew who Azeez Al-Shaair was day one. We knew who Dre Greenlaw was. John, we were at a game where we watched Dre Greenlaw, your favorite player, literally suplex a motherfucker. Like out of bounds, too. Like, nope. Boom. Like, bro, what we do? I know you're strong, my guy. But, damn, that's 15. I think it was the Chicago game now that I think about it.
Dude is a lethal weapon, man.
Lethal. Loaded lethal weapon. Love those guys, man. Glad they kind of not here because we got our own penalties to be worrying about. Speaking of that, let's talk about these penalties because this is where I don't like the refs because I feel like the refs have an agenda. Now, I don't like to say football is conspired by any means necessary. But come on, man. Some of those tic-tacky calls they've been calling on these young players all season, especially the one on Marquise Siegel early. Like, I just didn't see the illegal contact. Like, it was so incidental. Now, the one on Demo, I kind of saw. The pass interference, you know, the calls, yeah, they were still iffy. But I saw the arm grab the stomach area. But it was real quick. I just think that the refs need to let our guys play football.
Yeah, and I hate how it's just one-sided. Like, why are there not defensive holding or illegal contact penalties on the other team ever again?
Yeah.
Ever. It's always one-sided. I think Demo's close to the NFL leader in penalties this year so far. Playing great. He's playing awesome. And teams are scared of him, which is great. But, like, man, given those free first downs, one of them was on 3rd and 15, and it's just like, ah! Like,
yeah.
Get your hands off. It's two-sided. But, yeah, man, call it both ways. And I will say this about refs. One, they're horrible. But, two, like, I can't stand them. Never could. But, two, whenever it's a double, you know, you're up by more than one possession in prime time, they're going to try to balance that stuff out and keep it entertaining. Like, that is – I hate that, man. And that's what happens. And shout-out to Shannon. She says, seems like the refs are getting more – petty each year. Let them play freaking football already. I'm with you there. I'm with you. The regular season is wrapped and the NBA playoffs are finally here. There's no better way to cash in on the high flying hoops action than Prize Picks, a preferred partner of the NBA. Every bucket, every dime, every win means more when you're playing Prize Picks. So don't pass up your next shot with Prize Picks and get $50 instantly in lineups when you play your first $5. And they have Do It Live 2026 NBA Final Sweepstakes, where you pick live squares during NBA playoffs, and you could win a trip for two to the NBA Finals. To enter, you make a $5 lineup with at least one live NBA player pick. During any of the 2026 NBA playoffs, live player picks are picks made after the game is already in progress. And if you've never played Prize Picks before, you just pick more or less on 2 to 6 player stat projections. It's that easy. You get them right, you win. It's one of the easiest apps to use. So download the Prize Picks app today. Use code 49ers to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code 49ers to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks, a preferred partner of the NBA.
If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door. No insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. you'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
The new Wegovy pill is now available through Weight Watchers. Powerful GLP-1 results in a simple pill at the lowest price available. And with Weight Watchers, you can get doctor support and personalized nutrition programs. See if you qualify at weightwatchers.com. Ad not reviewed or approved by Novo Nordisk.
I absolutely love that first firing up of the grill on a warm summer evening. Do you or someone else in your home take grilling as seriously as I do? The Burger Perfection Pack is an incredible deal for just $99.99. This exclusive package includes 20 of Omaha Steaks' mouth-watering steak burgers. That's four of each of their finest burgers. Pure ground filet mignon, New York strip, ribeye, brisket, and sirloin. Only available at omahasteaks.com. Impress your next dinner party or family cookout with exclusive products not available at grocery stores. All backed by Omaha Steaks' 100% money-back guarantee. Get ready for grilling season with the mouth-watering Omaha Steaks Burger Perfection Pack. Plus 8 free Wagyu Smash Burgers for just $99.99. Go to omahasteaks.com and as a bonus, use promo code YUM to get $35 off your order. That's $35 off with promo code YUM. Terms apply. See site for details.
You know what, Shane? I'm curious to know, like, you know, the refs got to go to school. They go to school every year. They are part-time jobs. So we
which is stupid.
We had this conversation before, right? And I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to sit here and trash the refs because I understand it's like these guys are literally getting a crash course of the new rule book every single year, which is new every single year. Like every single year, it's a new rule book. They're not going to get everything right. I think my thing is if you call it one way, continue to call it that way. Be consistent. I think that's what I'm looking for. Yes. That's it. That's all I'm looking for. And then next week, you can change up. But don't change up game.
Like the consistency throughout the game for both sides needs to be there.
Bingo.
If you're going to start calling defensive interference and all that, you got to call it both ways.
Because I don't know. Even it was a drop. I mean, it went through the breadbasket. I get it. You know, I get it. Love D-Mar, D-Rob, whatever you want to call him. But, I mean,
yeah, it was all over him.
It's harder to catch a pass when somebody got their arm. I did a. You remember the movie Money Talks? Was it like this or was it like this? I felt like it was like this, like Big Perm. Like that's what it was. Like, bro, he had the arm all around his waist, man. That's interference, bro. Interference, 100%. Now we won, so I'm gonna leave it alone.
There we go. So the title of this show, which we haven't even got to yet.
Whoops.
What are the 49ers best at? So we're going to ask Wayne that. I'm going to give you guys some time. What do you think the 49ers are best at this year? Because they're 5-2. They're in first place, but they're winning different ways. They're winning with backups. They're winning passing. Sometimes they win rushing. Sometimes you can't rush the passer. Sometimes you got 20 pressures in a game. So in your opinion, Wayne, what do you think the 49ers are best at this season?
Overcoming adversity. Ah, the corny answer, right? Like, but that's what they're best at.
I love that.
They still truly. You know what? I think Kyle Shanahan is just in his bag. I think Kyle Shanahan, against certain defenses, just don't want to show certain things. And so I think Kyle's going to be the type of Kyle. We know Kyle who he is. We know he's stubborn. And so he's just going to throw the ball. But when he sees advantage offensive line versus the defensive line, he's going to run the ball. Now, this game was almost balanced, almost. But I definitely love how he attacked this particular defense. And George Kittle talked about it. He said, yo, they light up front. We can bully them, and they did that.
Yeah, they just had speed edge rushers. They mm-hmm. drafted two of them in the first round,
mm-hmm.
and Trent was throwing one of them around. The other one was, you know, a healthy scratch.
You're
funny. Arnold Ebiketie, he
you're funny.
Dude, Trent, he was throwing that dude around.
You ever see the, you ever remember the Avengers with the Hulk? With the thing?
Bang, 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 bang.
Man, Trent was having his, Trent was having a day.
He was. Both tackles. Hey, Colton McKivitt, I thought it was Colton McKivitt's best game as a 49er, to be honest with you. He gave up that strip sack. Thought Mac should have thrown the ball or stepped up in the pocket, but that was a bad play. But in the run game, Colton McKivitt's.
So it was Colton McKivitt's that gave up the sack.
Yeah, his guy got the strip sack. Yes. Did he lose around the edge? Yes. Did Mac fade back whenever he should have climbed the pocket?
Okay, there we
also,
go.
Also, yes. Yeah, it's okay. Always nuanced. It's never one and the same. But yeah, that was a bad play from Colton McKivitt's for sure.
And that, my friend, is the difference between Mac Jones and Brock Purdy. Brock helps the offensive line. Mac needs the offensive line. That's the difference.
Yeah.
And so I think the more Mac Jones plays with this style of offensive line, the more he'll start stepping up in the pocket. Because he can avoid a lot of the pressure. Most quarterbacks can't. I mean, you watch football all week. How many quarterbacks literally just stay back there because they're told to stay in the pocket? And then you're just like, bro, why not just step up? You got 35 yards in front of you. So...
And Mac's moving better now, which he joked about afterwards, right?
The injury problem.
He looked better. Yeah. He looked a lot. And there was only one quarterback hit after Jake Brendel went out. One. There were three in the first quarter that Jake Brendel played. All three interior offensive linemen responsible for a quarterback hit. Only one quarterback hit after that, and that was the Colton McKivitt's where they did the strip sack. That's it.
That's
like,
it.
Mac was relative. He had 19 hits the previous 2 weeks. And only got hit four times this week, which, man.
Big difference. Big night and day. You could tell they had a big conversation in that room, Chris Forrester. I got a question. And usually I don't come on your platform to ask you questions.
I love it.
What are your thoughts on Chris Forrester and his philosophy? We blame Kyle for a lot. But when does the offensive line coach take any of the blame?
I think Chris Forster is a legend. I really, really do. One of the most experienced, I would say definitely top five offensive line coaches in the NFL. Now, having said that, there are some major loyalty flaws, evaluation flaws with Chris Forster. The fact that he purposefully goes out and publicly says, don't draft offensive linemen. Draft skill guys. I'll make it work with scraps. I hate that philosophy. I really, really do. I hate how long you've stuck with Jake Brendel. And very first time Jake Brendel gets hurt, which he's an Iron Man, he's tough, whatever else. You put in 61 Matt Hennessy, guess what? Run game was good with Brendel in the first quarter anyway, but run game, pass protection, everything was smooth. Connor Colby and Dominique Pooney instantly improved as soon as 61 went in. Like, dude, this has just been sitting there, and we've been watching 64 stop. You see him push guys into the end zone. Jake Brendel would never have done that in the history of his life. Jake Brendel would have stopped and watched. That's on Chris Forster. The fact that there is no heat under 64's rear end to put more effort into the game, you're either coaching it or letting it happen, and he let that dude get lazy as fuck. I mean, I don't know what else to say, and I'm cussing because I'm
yes!
Here.
Like, yes! That's the John I know.
You got to have some sort of urgency or passion.
He's just so passive, bro.
The most.
And it irks the out of me. Man, how do you play the toughest position in football? And you know what, John? We were spoiled. I think the issue with us is we went through an era. A few eras, a few decades. I mean, if you go back to the 80s and the 90s with the Steve Wallaces, the Harris Bartons, the Guy McIntyres, the Jesse Sapolas, like when you go back to them motherfuckers were tough. And I get they were built different, but they were tough, the mentality. So, and then you go to the Alex Boones and those guys, Mike Iupati's and those dudes, that wave, tough. And then you get to this wave.
It's not a core tenet. It's really, and look, you know, the title of the show is What Are the 49ers Best At? And, you know, we're going to bounce back and forth, and concerns and criticisms are allowed. Like, you're allowed to do that here. Kyle Shanahan is an offensive genius, like, period. And I saw this comment, Bobo. He says, how can so-called offensive geniuses like Kyle not see that Jake Brendel is trash? Kyle Shanahan is offensive genius, period. Is Jake Brendel trash? He needs a fire under his butt, and Kyle has not done that. Kyle's one of the main issues with Kyle. He's a little bit trash can. Oh, man. That's the cleanest trash can I've ever seen, man. My trash can is way worse than that. Way worse. But I'll say this, okay, real quick, and then I want to hear what you have to say. Kyle lets his guys coach. Kyle does not overstep unless you're Steve Wilkes. Still didn't even overstep on freaking Nick Sorensen somehow. But, like, that he allows his guys to coach. And he's a player's coach. This is a negative at times. You don't get Trent Williams without Kyle being the player's coach that he is. But you allow guys like Jake Brendel, Isaac Garrido, Jake Moody, Cameron Latu, like the Ronnie Bell, these guys that just do not fit. Don't fit. But you love their attitudes, and they're Brock Purdy's roommate, and they got a Toyota, and so you can't criticize them. And that is a flaw in the system. Sometimes injuries have to make it right, and I hate all injuries. I don't want Jake Brendel to get injured, but the 49ers got better the moment he went out of the game. Nobody could tell me different.
Here's what I'll say to this. I agree with you 100% on everything you said. Matt Hennessy, this is your opportunity, sir. Don't let us down. Don't let yourself down. And damn sure don't let the team down. And it's unfortunate, but this is how you get opportunities, through injuries. Now, I don't know what Matt Hennessy, if Matt, clearly Matt just didn't beat him out. And I think it was more of continuity with the team and the offensive line. He's a new guy in here, blah, 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 blah. Jake Brendel wasn't. Jake Brendel had the relationship and the rapport with the third stringers and second stringers at that point, because he was really here for Trey Lance. Like, if you really want to have that conversation. But Trey Lance is gone. Brock Purdy comes in. So there's that rapport between Brendel and the quarterbacks, Brock Purdy. I think because those guys have some type of a connection, you were just willing to live with what you were willing to live with. Matt Hennessy only needs one opportunity for me. Now, what he did in this game was phenomenal. Don't get it twisted. Didn't give up. He gave up one pressure. Hoopity 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 do do. And it wasn't a hit. That's the only thing I cared about. It was a hurry. In this game, though, if he goes out and has a game, it's a wrap. You start him for the remainder of his life.
And he could suck. Like,
he could. It's not he like could. That's why I said
he's a backup. Like, this isn't even. He is not a starting level center in the NFL, which is one of the least talented positions in the NFL. I want to be honest with you. That and right tackle, there's not a lot of good ones.
It's the fit for this system and what I'm concerned about. I feel like, you know what I think why we're drawn to him? Wasn't he a Falcon? And I feel like because, oh my God, I always forget his name, Alex, because Mac was a fit for this system, we just feel like, oh, he's a Falcon. He's got a fit, right? And so that's the only thing I care about. The only thing you got to be able to do in Kyle Shanahan's system and Chris Forrester is to fit the offensive line. Understand the protections. Know how to call out the protections. Know how to call out what's about to happen in front of you. Take a little bit less off of the quarterback's mentality so that they can go out there and execute. That is it. He has to and be athletic. I think that's what you're – and be willing to block. Downfield. Those are the fits. Those are Kyle Shanahan's working centers. That's why we don't draft them. That's why we try to find them, and they, you know, bargain shopping, blah, 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 because you're looking for the fit. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah. No, you're 100% on. 100% on. Real quick, I got a question here from Sonia that I want to get to. Any news about Ayuk? She's got a fantasy question. I don't think Ayuk comes back till – I don't think they open up his practice window until the bye week 14.
Yeah, week 14. I think they open it up before that, but I think they open it up around week 12, week 13.
There's a strong chance he don't play this year. I think he will.
There's a good chance he doesn't. I'm with you. Yeah. I'm on the strong category, and I'm okay with it. Just like I'm okay with letting Brock heal, like, which is because I didn't know that our backup quarterback would be this successful. So that's a fair assessment.
100%. Now this week, oh, I can't wait. I get to be with Wayne in person. If you're in Houston, you got to come out. You got to come party. Here are the details. Join us in Houston for probably one of our biggest parties we have ever hosted. We are going to be on the 25th of October at the Social Beer Garden HTX with Frank Gore, Wayne Breezy, Travis King, Eye of the Niner. Going to be one of the biggest parties we've ever hosted. Likely to sell out. Please don't wait to get tickets. Then the day of the 49ers Texans game, we rented out a 3-story parking garage so that we can control everything. We do have parking available for an additional fee, which you can get on the app. And we open an hour before all of the other lots. So you can get there early, you can stay late. And if you want to, you're not going to be buying tickets and you want to enjoy the game, we'll have TVs up there so that you can stay and party during the game if you want to do that. If you want to go in like I'm going to, that's available for you as well. So do not wait. Go get your tickets at 49ersRushRoadTrip.com or get them on the TickPick app. Just search 49ers Rush or follow the link in the description of this video podcast. Come party with us. It is going to be legendary. Shout out to my man Matthew. He's going to be out there. Can't wait. I think May's coming. And I got to give a birthday shout out to my man David. He is a stud. I won't say how many years. He get long in the tooth. But happy birthday, David. You're the freaking man. Right here, Big Tone. Will Jordan Watkins get on the field at all this year? That speed could help out. But, man, did you see Malik Turner on special teams? Did you see Malik Turner on special teams? That's why he's not active currently. I don't think that's going to continue.
Are you asking me a rhetorical question?
Dude,
or
balled
do you want
out.
My answer? Okay, well, here's
dude,
the thing.
Out.
I don't know how many more elevations we have with Malik Turner. I feel like we get one more, right? And so once those run out, I think you sign him to the roster. And the reason why I say that is because of his ability to play on special teams. Now, if you guys don't remember who Malik Turner is, go watch the Super Bowl.
He used to be 7. Now he's 81.
That dude like, confused me when he was 80. Time. Yeah, because he's on and off the squad.
Looking like a tight end.
You know what I'm saying? He did get kind of bigger, right? Like, or just the number. No, my point is Kyle doesn't get enough credit for manipulating the system. And I just think this is a perfect manipulation of what we've been seeing. He's been stashing these wide receivers all season long. He got all he needed to get out of MVS, put him on the IR. They released him, right? Designated to release. He's blah, blah, blah. He's gone. So bye-bye with that. And now you get the next guy in, right? And so the difference, though, is it's going to be hard to leave that gunner off this team. You want to upgrade your special teams? And let's not act like Malik Turner can't be a weapon. I thought Malik would have been a nice weapon or addition. You know what I'm saying to this team? Like I you
he's
know
great blocker. He is a great blocker.
What's the other old guy we had?
Willie Snead. We had Chris Conley.
Conley and Malik. Those are guys I would like to see. Like they I know Chris Conley's retired. Work. Yeah, but my point is Malik is the new Chris Conley. I think that's where I'm going with this.
Oh, so I like that.
I would like to see that. I think that's that veteran that we're missing. You still get the surges and the energy from Kendrick Bourne. He ain't going nowhere. Sky Moore is getting every opportunity he can get. I think he needs more offensive opportunities. I think he needs the ball with his hand and create space. I think he can replace the Joker. He could be a slash Joker role. He could be that guy that we thought Ray Ray McLeod was at times. That to me is Sky Moore, and you need it. You give it to him. Give it to him, baby.
Yeah. Give it to him, baby.
Oh yeah, that's my joint.
All right, now let's ask this,
James. I'm sorry,
my man Damien on Twitter. I want to talk some more Kyle Shanahan. He asked me this. He says, "Would you say this is the best coaching you have ever seen from Kyle in a season? We've had some great seasons for sure. He was runner up for Coach of the Year twice. What are your thoughts with what Kyle's done so far this season? I think this is his best year. I really really do."
I don't think this is his best year because we had an offense once where we had like 4 guys about to get 1,000 yards. That's clearly the best year. But what he's doing.
That was when we were healthy. That was 2023.
Yeah, you get where I'm going with this.
Everything was just, yeah. You're blowing everybody out.
And
man.
So there's the context, right? We're not healthy. We don't have our starting wide receiver. We don't have our first round draft pick. We're dealing with a 7th round draft pick that's battered, beat up and bruised and then a bunch of guys that they brought in as free agents. I give Kyle credit. I think he should be Coach of the Year because he's not doing it with a bunch of all pros. So he's doing it with guys that were free agents and you know, not even expensive free agents, right? It's not like we got these high-priced guys coming in. Nah. And so he's got guys in here that were familiar with the system, blah, 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 all that good stuff. And he's, you know, we know how Kyle is with his offensive rookies. If you don't play offensive line, you ain't getting on the football field. Like, you know what I'm saying? And so I
Connor Colby was the first rookie to get a reception this year.
First rookie to get a reception on the offensive line ever under this regime. Like ever. So my point is, I just like what Kyle is doing. If you want to chalk that up as saying he's having the best year because of the adversity that he's overcoming, cool. But, dude, we're barely putting up 20 points. And that's a problem. And there's going to be times where our defense just falls, just isn't the defense. And we expect it because the defense is missing everybody. So I'm going to need Kyle to just, you know what I need Kyle to do? I need Kyle to just trust his guys. Trust the vets that you do have here. Trust them because I think they'll help your offense go a much longer way. And George Kittle said it best. You know, he said, all you fantasy football owners out there, don't be mad at me. Be mad at Kyle Shanahan, which means give him the motherfucking ball. I think George Kittle just wants the ball.
I don't think Mac and Kittle need to figure it out. They were off sync. And
I think, John, they need time.
They go to his guys. That's the first game together. That's the first time.
100%. That's why he said blame Kyle Shanahan.
Yeah.
He didn't throw his quarterback under the bus. George Kittle is the only 49er. Maybe Christian McCaffrey, but that's not Christian McCaffrey's persona. That's clearly George Kittle's persona. When has he not thrown Kyle Shanahan under the bus?
Oh, yeah. We got to run the ball. When we don't run the ball, we're a bad football team.
Yeah.
We're a bad football team.
I mean, the dude literally is telling teams why we beat y'all. Like, this is how we're going to beat teams. When they lighten the ass up front, we just going to run in and punch them in the mouth.
Oh, I think I have the clip. Here it is. This is from last year.
So, I mean, I think all we have to do is hold on to the football, run the ball really well, and we're going to be okay.
That was after we threw the ball like 45 times and had no, like, two rush attempts in the fourth quarter. And he
George Kittle was pissed. Yo.
Oh, that dude thumping on the podium just like ready to go.
Like, hurry up and ask me these questions so I can fulfill this requirement and get the frick out of here. Like,
most positive human being ever. And still critical, and he deserves it. Like, I mean, dude's honest. Like, this is who we are. This is how we draft. This is how we evaluate. So you go out there and you get a game where you run the ball 39 times. Yeah, George Kittle doesn't get a catch, but dude, you physically imposed your will, ran the ball down their throat, did everything you needed to do, didn't get a lot of points. You scored 26 points twice. You finished under 20 points three times. The scoring has been rough. And you talk about like the red zone offense, 25th. The one thing that this offense is great at is third downs. We're second in the NFL in third down conversion. That's crazy.
That is crazy now that I think about it. They were 60-something. They were 60% last week on third down. So that's a big positive, you know. And third and we're not even talking about the types of third downs, right? These would be third and longs. Like the third and 13 conversion was.
I only had 10 players out there, morons. My favorite was the third and four runs. He did it twice.
Twice, John.
My favorite play in all of football is a third down run for a first down. Whenever it's third, four to third and six, that immediate area. And man, you get I go crazy, man. My dog starts barking. I start jumping up and down whenever I'm at home.
Yeah. I like the third and longs when they're converted because they always usually get converted against our defense. So when we do convert those, I'm just like, yeah. Like, cause those come on, man. The probability, bro. The probability of them getting converted is super slim to none. So when it happens, you're just overly excited. Right. And I mean, yeah, our defense struggles on third and longs, you know, it's crazy. It's weird.
Yeah, it's weird because like you play the shell and you rally and tackle and all those things, but for some reason, man, I feel more confident third and two than I do third and 12. I think you've said that before, right?
Yeah, like, it's the worst. It's the weirdest feeling. You third and long, play back, run up, make the tackle. You're good because they're gonna throw underneath anyway. And no, for some reason, it'd be to a person that we just not expecting, or a quarterback will take off and run for 15 yards, or, you know, yeah.
Yeah. It's funny. We got, whenever I asked the question of, you know, what are the 49ers best at? People were saying in here, best at injuries.
Bro, so, media, that's so messed up, man. That's why your boy Jacob Cowan was still on the IR. You know what I'm saying?
He's still there, man.
He's still there. I don't think he's coming off of IR.
I dude, they're not mentioning, like, he is like Voldemort. Like, he is the name that is not mentioned. They have scrubbed.
Is that Harry Potter reference on the show?
Yeah,
we went there. We went there. Okay.
So I want to know your opinion on what to do about Bryce Huff and his injury. He's going to miss a couple weeks right after this. You know that one guy in the group chat who had a five-leg parlay week one and just wouldn't shut up about it for the rest of the season? That could be you. MyBookie makes it super easy to get into the action. College football, NFL, super contest, survivor pools, casino, blackjack, whatever it is you want, they got it. All the spreads, player props, and in-game lines you could want all under one roof. And if you're new to MyBookie, use our code 49ers, 49ERS, up to $500 is fully covered. You make your play. Let's say it doesn't hit. You get all of it right back up to $500 when you opt in using your bet back bonus, and you get it back. It's just what it is. Comes with a one-time rollover if you use it. Now, no better time to jump in, no better place to play. Plus, we have all of our weekly bets and season bets up on our Patreon and the 49ersrush.com. So if you don't know how to get started, we've got it made for you. We show you what we bet. We show you what's out there, and we will cover that with you. It's going to be a good time. So, football's back. Let's make some money with MyBookie, promo code 49ERS. Let's go. All right, the injuries just keep coming. Bryce Huff going to miss a couple weeks with a hamstring. And injuries are one thing. Mm-hmm. Stacking injuries at the same position is a whole nother thing. Nick Bosa, Bryce Huff, Etir Gross-Matos. That's three of your top four. How do you think the 49ers approach defensive end with another issue?
Yeah, man. I think he's your best pass rusher, right? I think he leads the team in sacks.
Yeah, he's like top. I think he's sixth in the NFL in like pressure percentage.
Yeah.
Like, he's always there.
So your number one pressure guy is not going to be playing for a few weeks. Which means I think it speeds up the process of those guys trying to trade for an edge rusher, right? Like this is now we got to trade for an edge rusher, right? I mean, I love Sam Okwuonu, but that's where the buck stops. Is this going to be a Robert Beal Jr. week? You know, who doesn't pressure well? Great against the run. They don't have much of a run game over in Houston, so. Do you need him? Nah, you need the pressure guy. Can Travis Gibson finally crack the whip as far as getting the pressure? And I think if he does, this will be his last elevation as well. So, John, I don't know, man. Like, I think the trade processing is speeding up now for the Niners, especially with the teams that are on the fire sale, the Jets, the Dolphins. You know, it's just time to hit the button. It's not a panic button. It's just more like a button. All right, let's go ahead and make something happen. Let's get in a guy that, you know, Kyle Shanahan feels like is going to be here and now, like, for the future. Like, you know what I'm saying? You know, so I think they're going to have to go ahead and make a trade. There's no free agent I feel like they can bring in here to help relieve some of the pressure. No pun intended. Like, they need to go get a guy. And then when you get Bryce Huff back, you get your motor guy back out on the outside. Like, you get that Maserati back, like, you know what I mean, or Bugatti is that's what they call them, you know, you get them back.
And so, like, man, you heard from the Monday beat reporter press conference call, which hasn't been put out there. Maybe somebody's seen it, but like a lot of people would tweet. Kyle Shanahan had said he wants somebody that's going to be on the roster this year and next year. So kind of a little bit different approach than what they've been doing, where they go after these expiring contracts. They're looking at somebody for 2 years. And so I think that's interesting. Now, you look at the teams that are selling, obviously the Jets, maybe the Giants, maybe the Dolphins for sure. I think the Dolphins are probably the best fit. I'm going to continue saying that. The Jets and Dolphins make the most sense, but neither team's selling right now. And shoot, you're about to play the Giants next week. So you think they're going to trade you a player right before you play them? Mm-hmm. I don't think so.
Nope.
I wish they would.
Right.
I wish they would. But I, yeah. I mean, you need a defensive end. If you could pull the trigger now, but you don't allow the injury to make you overpay.
Correct. I didn't say overpay. Right. I just feel like the wheels on the Jets going to start churning for the Niners, right? Like, because now it's like, damn, we just lost another dude. All right, cool, right? And I love what I saw from the defensive line, but those pressures, we also generated pressure by blitzing. So, you know, that's something that we saw. Like, and, you know, with the injury to Nico Collins, and it sounded like he got a concussion, the Niners might not have to blitz in this game. They're going to be dealing with a bunch of young receivers. It's more one of those games where you just rush the four. But if we don't got that steady four rush four to play coverage back there, that's going to be a problem for our defensive back. So you got to get
it. The good news is Houston has the worst offensive line in football. And I don't think it's debatable. But
okay, there's the but. I knew there was a but. What was the but? I'm just curious.
The but is the 49ers, you know, pass rush is Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde.
There you
either
go. It's either on
awesome
or it's off. Or yeah. It's, There you go. I thought it was just me. Yep. No. That's what it is. It's not consistent. Mm-mm.
Well, I mean, hey, we had 22 pressures.
22? 22, two sacks, few hits.
Yeah, nine pressures the week before.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah, what are you going to do there? Yeah. I don't know. CJ Stroud not looking good. Nico Collins amazing, but if he ain't going to go, which, you know, man, we last year we were in that position where it was like, dude, we got travel on the road and no rest and all this stuff. Shoot, the Texans played in Seattle the late Monday night game.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a full, you know, 24 hours. It's even more than that. It's really like 30-hour, I guess now we played Sunday night, 24-hour difference, and they got to fly across the country. Like, not that I feel bad for them, but the fact that you're in concussion protocol and you got to get through those four stages, you have one less day to do so, makes it even more likely probably not going to play. And he is their best player on offense, and it's not even close.
Yeah.
Not even close. So, yeah, we'll have to see what that looks like. We really are. Now, I got a question here from Jack. Sorry, I got to this one a little late. Jax, hope you're still with us. She says, why are we number two in seeding when Green Bay only has four wins? Because the NFL all tiebreakers go off a winning percentage, mm-hmm. not wins, not losses. It is all based off a winning percentage.
They had their bye week already, so that's the thing.
And they have a tie. So they're 4-1-1. And they had their bye week, but they have a 750 win percentage. The 49ers have a 714.
Yeah.
But if the playoffs were today, you're the number two seed. You are the number two seed in the NFC right now.
The 49ers are.
You'd be hosting the Rams in that wild card round.
Because they're the best in the West, right? Crazy. Everybody's even though the top teams are 5-2.
There's five of them. Six 5-2 teams.
Detroit, the Rams. So that NFC West is crazy, right? Detroit, Rams. Who else is 5-2?
Eagles 5-2. Bucks 5-2. Lions 5-2. Seattle. Rams.
Seattle's 5-2 too.
Seattle's 5-2. And the Bears are 4-2. They've had their bye week. So if the Bears win, they'd be 5. Like, the NFC is top heavy. Mm-hmm. Top heavy.
Mm-hmm. So and it comes down to matchups every single week, you know, and to which teams can stay at the top. You know, I mean, I feel like every team in the NFC has their strengths and weaknesses, and they show their dominances week in and week out, you know. And so all I care about is the Niners, and they just got to figure out ways to win. I think that's what I love about what's going on right now. They're just figuring out ways to win. It's not that we're skating by. We're just finding ways to win, like a player making a play on defense, a late touchdown from Christian McCaffrey. Like, you're just figuring it out. And so that's kind of like the beauty of what's going on. Now, if you want to attest to that, to get back to your original question to why this may be Kyle's best season, that is fine. I just feel like that best season was when, man, this offense was churning. We were 30 purdies. Remember that? Yeah. Remember that term? 30 purdy? We're going to put up 30
like,
today.
It was like watching NFL Blitz every weekend. Just like, it was just fireworks, man. It just everything that they did worked.
I guess
everything
we'll never see that again. I guess that, you know, now we
got a
be,
historic offense. It was NFL historic all offense. Historic.
And we didn't win that year, too. God, mother freaking dang it.
Yeah, we almost lost all three playoff games, man. I had to come back at the end.
Right.
Crazy thing.
Right.
Like, almost lost to Green Bay. Almost lost to the Lions.
To the teams we just spent like, over time. Right.
Look at Monkey Boy. He says, best at digging deep and finding ways to win. One of my favorite movies of all time. Hanging around, hanging around. Got alligator blood. Check, 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 check. Pay him his money. Shout out to Rounders. John Malkovich, the best. But yeah, so like, I think to conclude this show, the 49ers, I don't know what they're best at. And probably not good writing on my part, but it's just like whatever you need, they're going to get that done. Mm-hmm. They're 5-2 in first place. NFC is stacked at the top. Like, there's going to be a quality team not make the playoffs because of tiebreaker rules. And the thing I keep going back to, the Niners own every single tiebreaker imaginable. Like, even the Bucks beat us, right? We have the same record as them, but we're seated higher because as soon as you get into that three-way tie, head-to-head is dissolved. We win on conference. We win. Man, we're 5-1. We have the best conference record. Green Bay's 3-0-1, but still best divisional record, best conference record. The Niners will win every single tiebreaker this year unless it gets down to strength of victory. That one we will not do. But the 49ers just hang around. So, Wayne, let's wrap this show up. We both got to go pick up our boys. In your opinion, as we close out, what is the best thing that the 49ers do this year? It's hard.
Yeah, I mean, because it's hard to not say the best thing that they do is figure things out. You know what? How about adjusting? How about adjustments are a lot better than what we've ever seen? And a lot of that is because now Kyle Shanahan just doesn't have to micromanage. The trust factor is there on the defensive side. So Robert Saleh controls the adjustments there. The offensive side, Kyle's adjusting, right? He's got to deal with injuries, dumb player penalties, dumb referees, dumb this, dumb that, dumb, right? And so, like, he's adjusting mid-game. We got to give Kyle Shanahan credit to where he's just like, all right, yo, Brent, what the fuck? I need a new kicker. Can we get a new kicker? You know what? Yeah, get rid of this motherfucker. Like, you got to give him credit for making these in-season adjustments to help better the team. I will say, if we don't get rid of Jake Moody, and congratulations to the success he's having in Chicago, he just needed a new scenery, we're not 5-2. We're not. It's just what it is. But they did. So I like the adjustments. I think adjustments is what we're getting, and we're figuring it out as we go along. It's like, John, here's our blueprint to win today, and then you get hit with a whole different game. All right, let's adjust on the fly. So on the fly adjustments, we're seeing whether it's in game or whether it's just dealing with the adversity of the season. I tip my hat. Like, it's adjusting, and that's what's got us at five. That's what has us at 5-2. Hope that said that right. Felt like I said that right.
I like it. Well, Wayne, it has been a pleasure. The next time we talk, we're going to be together in person again. The Milli Vanilli, we are back.
Mm-hmm. Are we going to do like a Milli Vanilli, like sing-along or something? Can we, you know?
I mean, nobody want me singing, but I'll get up there.
Well,
you don't
have to sing as Milli Vanilli, duh.
That's right. I remember the dance, baby. I remember, what was it, the 1992 MTV
92, baby. 92 with the tape. Stop. Chicka, chicka, chicka.
I love it. We got a super chat real quick. Skywalker, thank you so much. This is random but breezy. As an East Coast dude, how did you become a Niners fan? Go Niners. All right, share the story, and we'll call it quits.
All right, cool. So first, I got to say, I'm a Skeletor fan. So I love the freaking emoji that you got rocking. Man, that's a weird Skeletor, because that looks like a happy one with a heart. But I like the evil Skeletor, right? All right, that's number one. Number two, and let me ask you this quick question, John, before I answer this. Who is the better villain, Skeletor or Mumra?
I had the He-Man underwear, and I used to run around those all the time. So I'm going Skeletor, man. That was my jam.
They both had wimp sides to them. They had very good entourages, but I think I go with the Mumra. I think I go with Mumra. But anyway, to get to your question, Skywalker. So I'm an 80s. I'm an 80s baby, born in 81, and so. The 49ers on the East Coast was the team that I would get to see in a lot of games, right? It was the team I was seeing on TV. It was them. It was Dallas, okay? Now, my mom's a Dallas Cowboys fan. And just off the strength of my mom being a Cowboys fan, I gravitated to the team that she didn't like, right? Plus the team that I just felt like had the cooler colors. I'm a colors guy. That's one of my favorite movies, by the way. Colors, colors. So the colors, the red and gold is what really attracted me to the Niners. Before I even knew who a player was, who a Jerry Rice was, who a Joe Montana was. But I found out and figured it out real quick who they were and why I liked them. It was like watching lightning and speed and precision. And as a little kid, I love that shit. And so I just stuck with it. We were winning, and then we were losing. And I stuck with it all my life. I mean, you know you're a fan. This is how you know you are a die-hard fan. This is when the sport grabs you by the balls, and you're sucked in for life. Don't tell my mother I did this. When you wake up after a loss on Monday Night Football, you go to school and you skip school because you don't want to be teased from losing. I think I take the cake right there. Mom, I'm sorry. First time I ever cut school in my life. But there were all types of fans. There were Cowboy fans. There were Raider fans. Connecticut is just a mixed melting pot of, and so I had to do that. That's when you know. And I cried. Did you ever cry from losing, John, when you were like 13, 14?
Oh, hell yeah.
Okay.
Oh, hell yeah.
Just thought it was me. Just thought it was me. Like, that shit hurt my heart. Because we were a finesse team. And somehow, sometimes we just got punched in the face. And I didn't like it. But that's how I became a fan. 80s, mom, Cowboys, nah, Niners, all the way in. There you
Gosh, go. Man. What a great way. I don't know where you guys are time zone wise, but you're going to have a great day after listening to that.
Great day.
That is awesome. Wayne, thank you so much. For everybody out there, huge game this week. Can the Niners get to 6-2? We will see. We will see. Till next time, stay strong, faithful. Peace.